Amen. Thank you so much for being here on a chilly January the 7th, 8th. What is it? I can't believe whatever it is. January the 8th. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn there with me. If not, we will put it up on the overhead. We'll start at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to go ahead and read it off of the, because I have the New King James Version, but I want to read it in this. Bible says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Praise God for that. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I raised up the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. The outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction weight of glory," in the last verse, brother 18, "while we look not at the temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We faint not." We faint not. We faint not. I have some apple cider vinegar on standby up here, thanks to the Hogans tonight. So just in case anybody comes down with something, we can anoint you with apple cider vinegar. Oh man, I am the crowd looks good in here tonight, man. For all the sickness going on, it does look good in here, and I miss my family being here tonight. Easton was wrapped around my leg as I was getting ready, just so upset that he could not come with me, and he's like, "I don't want you to go," and I said, "Well, buddy, I'm preaching tonight. Who's gonna preach? Papa can preach." He wanted me to stay home, and I'm missing them tonight. Love my family. One on the way soon, and I keep them around for sermon material. And for those of you who are feeling the call of God, get a wife, get a family. I'm telling you, the sermons are just plenty to preach about. And with that, I was thinking, just this past Christmas, anybody get, you know, out of all the gifts you get, and I would say when I was younger, I hated getting this, but the older I get, I kind of love getting them, and they are gift cards. Anybody get a gift card for Christmas this year? They're great. And my wife and I, we got a gift card to Texas Roadhouse. Is there any steak lovers in the house tonight? Amen. Eating good. Now I love Texas Roadhouse. But it's not the place that we go all the time, okay? Number one, it's expensive, and number two, it's not cheap, okay? Because when I go to Texas Roadhouse, I am ordering me a steak, right? That's why you go there. I'm not going there for the chicken fingers. I'm not going there for the mac and cheese. I'm not going there for the salad. But when I go to a steakhouse, I'm ordering me some steak. I can tell you that right now. Now, Easton, he's not quite grasped the concept. Of course, he's 4 years old. I'd be a little bit surprised. The waitress walked around, "What would you have, sir?" And he'd be like, "Yeah, give me the ribeye." You know, that would be pretty funny. Number one, it's expensive, right? And I don't see a ribeye on the children's menu, but He doesn't quite get that. I'm sure one day he will, but I fear that he will be one of those kids that orders chicken fingers everywhere that he goes. Is anybody that kid? Still that kid? Have that kid? Everywhere you go, you order chicken fingers. You go to some burger place and you order the chicken fingers. Why do they have chicken fingers on the menu at Tequila's? Why are people going to a Mexican restaurant for the chicken fingers? But I fear Easton will be that kid. And so we go to Texas Roadhouse, and out of all the things that you can get there, the only thing that Easton wants is a baked potato. A baked potato. That is all the kid wants. out of everything. Now, I love a baked potato just as much as the next guy, but friend, don't ask me when I'm going to a steakhouse if all I want is a baked potato. Don't ask me to try the hamburger. Don't ask me to try the salad. Don't try to get me to get the pasta. That's not why I came. That's not why I'm at a steakhouse. Amen. Let me ask you here tonight a question. How many of you came here tonight hoping to be discouraged? By show of hands. Anybody come here tonight hoping to be discouraged? Anybody come here hoping that the wind in your sails would just kind of be thrown out the window? Did anybody come here hoping that somebody would say something that we would lose all hope? Anybody? No, that's not why we came here. Amen. We came here for the opposite, didn't we? Amen. We came here to get encouraged. We came here looking for help. We came here to be inspired and moved. We came seeking hope. Nobody came here hoping and praying and longing for someone to sing something or pray something or preach something that would strip away all of our hope. No, that's not why we come, but we come here to lift up the name of Jesus. We came here to claim a hold of His promises that He has in the Bible that are yes and amen. And He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So we came to lift up the name of Jesus, amen, so He could draw us closer. That's why we came. We came to do that so we can have hope. We can be encouraged. Amen. In a world that is so filled with hopelessness and discouragement and defeat, if I told you that the world that we live in, if I told you that I knew a way that you could live your life every day and not faint and not give up and not be discouraged and not lose heart, would you refuse to hear what I'd have to say? Would you, if I told you that that's what I was preaching about tonight, would you just pack up the kids and pack up the family and say, well, this sermon's not for me. I'm not looking for hope. I'm not looking for encouragement. Let's go, honey. Start the car. This is your opportunity to do that right now because that is what I'm preaching about tonight. Amen. I want to try to help somebody who might not feel as motivated as you once were. Amen. That's, you know, nobody would get up and leave and say, I don't want to be encouraged and I'm not looking for hope. Of course not. That's why we're here. We're here to worship God and to better ourselves. And in our text tonight that we just read, I could have went on and read another chapter of what Paul was writing about. But Paul is telling us that he has found the secret to staying encouraged in God. Paul says this phrase, for which cause we faint not. Let me preach to you for the next little bit. I want to help somebody that's feeling a little discouraged. I want to help somebody that's not as motivated. I want to help somebody that maybe you feel like throwing in the towel. Maybe you feel like giving up. Maybe you feel like all hope is lost. Let me try to help you get to the place that Paul is talking about where you can say the same thing, for which cause we faint not. Amen. I love that phrase. What an amazing statement that Paul says. For which cause we faint not. Now the word faint refers to a failing of the heart. And the New King James Version, I alluded to it just a second ago, literally says we do not lose heart. Paul is telling us that regardless of what comes his way, he doesn't give up. Regardless of what he's got himself in, he doesn't give up. He doesn't give in. He does not faint. Amen. It is so easy to kind of lose heart, isn't it? It's so easy to want to give up. It's so easy to wake up and have another case of the Mondays. It's so easy to come to a place where you're ready to just quit and throw in the towel. It's so easy to lose our motivation. And it seems to me, just from reading about the life of Paul and what the Bible says about the life of Paul, that it would have been easy for Paul to give up also. You read your Bible and everything that Paul had gone through, you know, all the things, and I'll get to it here in a second, but Paul had discovered a secret that enabled him to be encouraged, even in the midst of circumstances that would have been discouraging for anyone else. Paul found something. And as I was saying, Paul's life was anything but easy. You go back to the start of 2 Corinthians and you look at how Paul starts out. He starts out talking about the troubles that they were facing. The things that they were suffering from while in Asia. Yet the Bible says this, we had great burdens there that were beyond our strength. We even gave up hope of living. Truly in our own hearts, we believed that we would die. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 about all the beatings he suffered, about him being in prison, near-death experiences, all the lashes with the whip, beaten with rods, almost stoned to death. He had been shipwrecked, the Bible says, 3 times. He had gone thirsty and hungry for days. And all of this combined with the load of concern that he had for all the churches. All of that combined, and Paul said, he said, I feel weak every time someone else feels weak. I feel upset every time someone is led into sin. You know, Paul's life was anything but easy. I think about you often, especially during Christmas times, you're out there with thousands of packages and all of a sudden getting text messages from the church, and I got this going on, and you love the church, I know that, and he's not fretting it, but this is what Paul was going through, shipwreck, being beaten, being lashed, and all these things, thirsty and hungry, and dealing with the church. All of that combined, Paul and Tom, can anybody stand here and say that Paul's life was easy? No. Yet in spite of all those trials, in spite of all the tribulations and burdens, Paul is able to say this phrase, for which cause we faint not. Is there anyone here that can echo that statement? Is there anyone here who can say, I never get discouraged? I never want to give up. I'm always encouraged, excited. I'm just like the Energizer Bunny. I just keep going and going and going. Is it the Energizer Bunny or I don't know, whatever it is. They just keep going. Can anyone here say that? No! No one here can say that. We all stumble from discouragement to discouragement. We all want to quit from time to time. We all just want to just stop and give no more because we felt like we have given all that we can. If we were truthful tonight, most of us feel like David felt when he wrote the words in Psalm 55 that says, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. If we would be honest with ourselves, there are some times that we would like to sprout some wings and just fly away and escape all the troubles and the trials. While there are times that when leaving our troubles and our trials behind feels like the best option, I am far more interested in reaching the place where I can say what Paul said. I am far more interested in reaching a place where I can say, for which cause I faint not. Oh, I know that I've been through hell on earth. It's not been easy, but I have a hope. I have a Savior, and I've met Him face to face. And He's a God of mercy, and He's a God of grace, and I'm completely putting my hope in Him. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord tonight? I've found that power on high. I've found my Savior. And because of that, we faint not. Giving up isn't even a thought. We faint not. You know, because of Him, I can have my, I can move and have my being. Because of Him, I can be steadfast and unmovable. For this cause, we faint not. As I've already said, it's so easy, though, to come to the place where we do kind of just want to lay down. We kind of want to give in. Let go. We've held on. We've struggled. We've battled. We've fought the fight. We've done all that we feel that we could possibly do. It's so easy to come to the place where we just want to faint. We lose heart. The reason it's so easy is found in verse 16 of our text tonight. Paul identifies a common struggle that we all face. Paul says this, though our outward man perish. The reason it's so easy for us to have those feelings of giving up is because that's exactly what our outer man is doing. Our outer man is perishing. our outer man is wasting away. We are told that the outer man is perishing. The word perish means to rot. It means to ruin, to corrupt, to be destroyed. And the word destroyed seems to fulfill the intended meaning here. Let's just be honest with ourselves. We're not getting any younger. And I know that sounds kind of funny coming from a 30-year-old. But it just seems like yesterday I was 16 and getting my license. Feels like I was just turning 20 and 21 and getting married and moving out of the house and buying my own milk. My mom, when I was living over in Peneyville, there was this apartment across the street. And my brothers and a couple of friends, they were like, man, we should get that apartment. We should go in together and we could live over there together and move in. I'm like, why would I move straight across the street and have to pay for my own food now? What sense does that make when I could just stay here and have it good? I tell everybody that at a time, stay at home as long as you possibly can. Stay at home. I'm completely off subject, but this is what it is. We're not getting any younger. The Bible says this, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. There, and I could go on and, you know, talk about, I don't want to be negative tonight, but we all know that we are marching towards a death. Well, it is appointed unto man once to die. And we might leave this world in any of 10,000 ways, but it will happen. We can't escape it. Amen. The outer man is perishing. Okay? 2 Corinthians 4:7 reminds us that here, this is what it says. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That is, we all live out our days in fragile jars of clay. One day the vessel will crack, okay? It will break and we will fade away. This is the nature of life. If you have lived a while in this world, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These bodies are dying. Every single day they die a little more. The outer man is perishing. He is dying. And the problems associated with his destruction causes us to faint. This was Paul's experience. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So then death worketh in us. It is our experience too. It is so easy to faint when life and people turn against you. It is so easy to come to the place where you just want to quit. Why? Because this outer man is perishing. He's working against you. Every single day you're dying a little more. Every single day you're getting closer to it. And it's so easy to just want to quit and give up and faint. But friends, you don't have to. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to become a statistic. You don't have to be one of those people who used to walk with God. You don't have to be one of those people who used to be faithful. You don't have to be one of those who used to go to church. You can reach a place where you can press on in spite of what presses you down. You can live above those things and say, like Paul said, for which cause we faint not. What we need and what I need is to come to the place that Paul came to. I want to be able to reach a place, Brother Hogan, where even though my outward man is perishing, where I can still say the words, I faint not. I want to be able to say, I faint not, regardless of what is going on around me, regardless of what circumstance or situation I'm in. I want to be able to say, like Paul said, for which cause we faint not, though my outward man is perishing, I can still say I have hope and I'm not giving up. These words that Paul has penned in 2 Corinthians helps us to be able to reach that place, to be able to have that confidence, to be able to have that hope. Paul reminds us that while the outward man is perishing, Oh, rest assured, it's perishing. You can't stop it. I've got gray hair coming in every single day, and I blame it on the youth. I got gray hair coming in, and I can't stop it. I can't do anything about it. My wife said, you look so sophisticated. And I'm like, it's gray! I'm going to accept it. Don't worry. But this is our experience. This is everything that we're going through. Amen. Paul reminds us, though, that while that's happening, while the outward man is perishing, he says, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Praise God. You see, the natural man, which includes the body and the mind, those things are dying every single day. Every day, the mind and the body are assaulted by the effects of this world, by the effects of sin. As a result of that, of the constant attacks, the outward man is perishing. Every single day, we die a little. We lose a step here. Every day, we experience heartbreak. The outward man is continually being destroyed right before our eyes. And we can all relate to that. We wake up in the morning and hear snap, crackle, pop, and it's not the cereal that you're pouring in your bone, in your both. I was going to say, it's your bones and your body. That's not a good sound to hear in the morning. But while the outward man is growing weaker and even nearer to the grave, the Bible says, but the inner man is being renewed every single day. Every day the inner man is given new strength, amen, for the trials that we'll face. Praise God for that. Jesus said it this way. He said, take no thought, therefore, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jeremiah said it this way in Lamentations. He said this, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I have hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Somebody clap your hands right now and give God praise for his mercy that are new every morning. Deuteronomy says it this way, "And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Praise God. 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." How many know that we can be renewed every single day? We can have new mercies every day. We can be made new on the inside every day. Oh, I know we're not getting any younger on the outside, but we have the strength that only comes from God on the inside, and it comes through the power of the Holy Ghost. Anybody thankful for the Holy Ghost tonight? That's our strength. That's where our power comes from. New every morning. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He's renewed every day. But here's the thing we need to understand. This is not a one-time drink that guarantees eternal security. This is not a one-time drink that ensures daily strength and renewal. The Lord is offering us a fountain from which we can drink every single day. You can access the throne room every single day. You can access God on your job, in your car, in your home, with talking with a coworker. You can grab hold of hands. You can lay hands on somebody out in public and access God. It's the power in his name that we just call upon his name and he shows up. We have access to those things every single day. But it is not a one-time drink. The Bible says this, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You know what that means? Thus, each day demands its own supply of grace. Each day demands it's a fresh supply. I can't expect the gas that I put in my car this week to get me through March. I can't expect that. Oh, I would love that. I can't expect to survive just on what I had for lunch today. Barbecue sandwich and onion rings. That's not going to hold me over. I'm already hungry again. I'm starving. I'm wasting weight. Goodness, I got this apple cider vinegar up here for me. Man, I'm looking forward to that on the ride home. We can't expect those things to happen. I can't just go put gas in my car and I'm good until 2018. Praise God, $33, that would be great. No, I need a fresh dose. I need another drink from the fountain. I need another touch from God. You see, the blessings from last Sunday are good, but friends, He's got a new thing that He wants to do today. He's still pouring out. He's still got more. I need a fresh touch. You see, what you brought up from the well yesterday, that bucket leaks every time you pull it up. There's stuff that's falling out of that bucket. Amen. What you brought up from the well yesterday will not be sufficient for the trials you'll be called on to face today. We need to feed on the Word of God every day. We need to pray every day. Going to church once a week or once a month or annually will not get the job done. It will not get the job done. I don't want to be an Easter-only saint. I don't want to be a Christian-only saint. I don't want to be an all-church Sunday saint where I just show up, we have one service on Sunday, and I just put in my time and I'm good. No, that doesn't get the job done. It's no wonder that so many give up. They make no investment in the renewing of the inner man day by day. We feed our bodies, and our bodies are perishing. Amen. We put gas in our cars and keep the oil changed, and those things are perishing. We go to the doctor, and we take our medicine, and we take care of our bodies, which are perishing. Yet we make no provision for our souls, which must be renewed every day. We faint because we focus our attention on everything but the one thing that matters the most in our life. The one thing that will move on once this body has passed on. The one thing that will keep on living is the one thing that we need to invest in. Amen. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain in the ways of this world yet lose his soul? What does it get me? What good is it for me to be a successful business person or successful in my career and be set financially for life if in the end I miss heaven? What does it get me to gain in the ways of this world if in the end I die lost? It gets me nowhere. I want to have the perspective that Paul had. I want to see beyond the temporal things of the world. I want to fix my eyes on things that are eternal. Romans 8:18, he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." See, here's the thing. Nothing we face here is worthy to be compared to the glory we will experience there. Our problem is this. We hear this, but we don't believe it. And the reason that Paul could say this and we can't is all a matter of perspective. We have our eyes on the here and now. But Paul has his on the then and there. We need to be able to see the big picture. I want to be like the psalmist said, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. How many of us are so fixated on what's going on in the night, the problems, the tears, that we can't see past? But we need to see the big picture. Joy is coming in the morning. If you want to make the statement that we faint not, ask God to get your eyes fixed on the things that are, get them away from the things that are here and now and place them on things of eternal value. Be making eternal investments. Start investing in your soul, the one thing that will still live on when this earthly body is gone back to the dust. Invest in your soul. Get the perspective that Paul had. Look beyond these things that are temporal and they're just fleeting. They're just passing away. That was how Moses made it. If our music would come tonight. That's how Moses made it. The Bible says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's how Abraham was able to make it. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham and Moses, they're not focused on the here and now. It's focused on the then and there. It's the big picture. Stephen, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus was there. That is how you will make it. Learn to see the big picture. Get your eyes off of current circumstances. These trials that you are facing now are not eternal. Your current status is not your final destination. This too shall pass. Take no thought for the morrow. Be like Paul, for which cause we faint not. Oh, I know I got problems, Bryce. I'm struggling financially. I need a healing in my body. I need God to move on my behalf. I need a job. I need this. I know we have problems. We have things that we're going through. But church, we have a hope in Jesus Christ. We can cast all our cares upon Him. We can put it all in His hands. We don't have to faint. We don't have to give up. We don't got to lose heart. We don't got to lose motivation. We can be motivated and have joy unspeakable and full of glory in a world that is dying. In a body that is dying. Would you stand with me tonight? Paul tells us that our affliction worketh for us. Would you just think about that statement for a moment? Our affliction worketh for us. When things happen in our lives, we often look at them as meaningless. We wonder how anything that painful, that tragic, senseless can have meaning. But it does. If you are a child of God, nothing that happens in your life is meaningless. There's a reason and a purpose for everything. Paul said it this way, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All things. Would you just whisper to yourself, all things, all things, all things. The good, the bad, the pain, the stress, the heartache, all things are working together. Your afflictions are working for you. Nothing in your life is meaningless. God has a plan and a purpose, and all things work together. They work together. Paul said our affliction works for us. When cancer comes and drains away your life, it's not meaningless. When your heart breaks and your dreams shatter, it's not meaningless. When you struggle with problems in your ministry, it's not meaningless. Parents, when you struggle with your children and their decisions, it's not meaningless. He said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." How do we not faint? How do we not give up? How do we overcome? We do it by experiencing His mercies every single day, because they are new every morning. We stir up the gift that is inside of us. We get a refilling of the Holy Ghost every opportunity we can. We are earthen vessels. We are weak. And we need a power that is outside ourselves if we are to stand. And that is the power of the Holy Ghost. That is the power of God's Spirit working and moving in your life. The Bible says He'll lead and guide you into all truth. All truth. The Bible tells us that we will be troubled here because Jesus was troubled here. God is doing in us what He did in the man Christ Jesus. God is revealing Himself through us just like He did through Jesus. And the only way people can see the light inside our vessel is if our vessel is broken. Your pain is not meaningless. Your struggle, your trial is not meaningless. God had a plan through all the brokenness, through every tear you ever shed, through every pain you ever felt. God will see us through the storms of this life and deliver us safely home to glory. Paul tells us to look beyond this life to the one that is to come. We sing that song tonight, "Oh, I want to see Him and to look upon His face." There will be forever. I'm looking forward to that day. In that coming world, the cares of this life will be seen as there'll be nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. Because here's the honest truth. You will be in this life discouraged. You will be defeated at times. You will struggle, but you don't have to faint. Would you bow your heads tonight, close your eyes? I feel the Lord moving in this place. If you're here tonight and you feel like almost giving up, maybe you feel like letting go, you feel like quitting, I want to invite you to this altar. Maybe you don't feel as motivated like you used to. Maybe you're not on fire for God like you used to be. Maybe you kind of feel yourself just kind of going through the motions. Please, I encourage you tonight, don't leave this place tonight without renewing yourself on the inside. Do whatever you got to do. Invest in that church, because I can tell you it is worth it. It is worth it. This altar is open tonight. If you want to pray at the altar, if you want to pray at your seat, but I would maybe just invite each and every one of us to find a place to pray. Maybe we just need to repent. Maybe we need to ask God to clean us up on the inside. Maybe we need to experience His mercy all over again. Maybe we need to pray until we pray through. Come on, I encourage you, stir up the gift that's inside of you. Maybe it's been a long time since you've spoken in tongues. It's been a long time since you stirred that gift up. Come on, have a spiritual breakthrough tonight. Allow God to speak to your life, to your current situation. Come on, you can leave here saying, "I faint not. I'm not giving up. I'm not losing hope. I'm not losing heart." Come on, you can leave here encouraged. You can leave here an overcomer. But it's all a matter of your perspective. Is your thing on the temporal? What are you looking at? Is it on the temporal things of this world or on the things that are eternal? Come on, it's the eternal things that matter. It's the eternity is what we are longing for, what we are working for. Hallelujah.